So before we get started, this week was kind of a tough week for a couple of families, the Seibold family and the Richards family, and I'm not sure, Steve? Yeah, you're here. Tom Seibold lost his father this week, Tom Seibold Sr. I always tell the story and did in the first service, but when I first met Tom Seibold Sr., he introduced himself, says, "I'm Tom Seibold," and I'm like, "No, you're not. He is." I didn't realize it was your dad, and it just took a second for it to all, like, click. But your dad was just such an awesome man. What a great leader. What a great Christian man. What a great example. We're really going to miss him. And I know your family is going to feel the void, and I know that you need the Lord to move in your family now. It's a really tough time. But at the same time, you know where your dad's at. There's no question about that. But it's still a tough time for families when they lose someone. And for the Richards family, you lost your grandmother, right? 97 years old, I believe. That's a nice long run. You know, you were saying last week, or maybe Wednesday night, we were talking about legacy, and I said, you said my grandma left a legacy, and you said she never said anything bad about anybody. She's been through some difficult life stuff, but never ever said anything bad about anybody, never complained about stuff. And I'm thinking, if I can get to 97, well, I think I've already blown it, but if I could get to 97, starting now, okay, because we always have today forward, right, without complaining and saying stuff like that, that would be awesome. What a great legacy to leave behind, you know. And so This next couple of days, I'll be saying goodbye to some very special people. And so if you would just join me in prayer, we want to pray over both families today. Father, we just thank you for being with us today and for being with the Seibold family and the Richards family. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus and through the power of your Holy Spirit that you release comfort and peace for the families, Lord, to help them through this difficult time. Lord, we know where they both are. We know that they're in your arms, Lord, but at the same time, we feel the strain of the loss. And so, Lord, I just pray today that you comfort and give them peace and help them walk through this difficult time, Lord. We love you and thank you and pray your hand upon both families today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's probably no shock I'm still talking about restoration. Are you guys okay with that today? Has this series been any good for you? Okay, it kind of helps you walk through. Okay, one person, it was good for you. Thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad it's helped you, Wayne. That's awesome. But I can tell you this process of restoration is something we walk through in life because life has a way of getting broken at times and we need to be restored and it's a constant walk toward where God wants us to be. And so part of this process of restoration, what we're going to talk about today, or I'm going to talk about and hopefully you'll listen. I always say we have a conversation, but we don't really. I do all the talking. But today I want to talk with you about restoring relationships because here's the thing, you were never intended to go through life alone. And I think a lot of times when we start going through hard times, we isolate ourselves and get ourselves off on our own. And the thing is, the relationships in your life, your marriage, your relationship with your family, and your relationship with your friends is very important because God has put a support network around your life, and God wants that support network to be very close. But we have to not only be about our restoration, but about the restoration of relationships too, because God is using all those people in your life to bring you to where he wants you to be. Do you guys know that? So it's no shock that you have the people in your life that you have. But in order for us to keep relationships strong and to keep them restored, we're going to have to be vulnerable because here's the thing about relationships is that there are going to be times where things don't happen the way you think they ought to. That you're not as nice as you ought to be and that they're not as nice as they ought to be. And sometimes we say things we shouldn't say and sometimes relationships get broken and sometimes we go through straining times. And so in order for us to restore those relationships, we got to be vulnerable and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I said things I shouldn't have said. I shouldn't have been that way. But I want our relationship together because I know that God put this relationship together and it's important for me and important for my development and it's important for you too. But in order for relationships to really do well, in order for them to thrive, in order for them to be in the right place, is we have to have room in a relationship for imperfections and mistakes. And I'm not sure we're okay with that because here's the thing. I think generally, just as my observation about life, it's maybe my observation about my own life too, is that I have a lot of times we expect perfection out of people. You know, we expect them to do everything right, to always act right, to always say the right thing. And then when they don't, we seem really shocked that they're human. I don't know about you, but have you ever had that moment before? You know, it's like, I thought you loved me, I thought you cared, and you went and you said this. And it's like we don't have any room for imperfection. And I can tell you this, that if we have relationships in life where we don't have room for imperfections and mistakes and errors, then we're going to have trouble, aren't we? We're going to have disagreements. We're going to be broken up. Relationships are never going to work. And we need to remember that God put the relationships together to strengthen us and to take us to a place he wants us to be. And so when we look at the whole recovery steps and we look at all that we're going through to get to a place where we're restored, we get to steps 8 and 9, and I put them together because they fit together. But here's what 8 is. We made a list of persons that we harmed and became willing to make amends with them all. And people are like, oh, no, you didn't say that just now. You know, it's like, I have to make amends for the things that I've done wrong. And here's the thing that we need to get from this. We don't deal with every little thing that happened since we were 2 years old or whenever we start having memories of our past, okay? But here's the thing. We get to a place where there are some issues that we sometimes have in life with people, things that we need to make amends for, things that we need to make right. And a lot of times we don't make those things right because we don't want to deal with it, because here's what it requires. It requires that I lay my pride down. It requires that I admit that I don't do everything right. And it also requires that I have to go back to that person and say, man, I am so sorry for the way I treated you. And we also know in the whole process that not everybody responds well to those things. And so that's a really tough place to be. But I wonder if we've ever gone through that process in our life of getting better where we make amends with the people that we know we did wrong. But the next step is kind of interesting. It says that we may direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Now, let me just say this about making amends. Not everything needs to be made right, okay? Because sometimes there are things that if you were to bring them back up again, it would stir up a bunch of junk, and it would be way worse than it was if you just left it alone. I don't know if you ever heard that song by Randy Travis, Digging Up Bones, anybody? Okay, exhuming things is better left alone. You know, sometimes you just quit digging up the bones. You leave them alone. But here's the deal, is that in life, God gives you the wisdom to know what the difference is, okay? So some bones you leave buried and some you bring back up and you deal with those things, but God will give you the wisdom to know what to do with that. Amen? Amen. You know, in these two steps in the recovery process, they use different scriptures to kind of back up what they're saying. And one of them is that, you know, confess your sins to one another, and that brings healing in your life. But as I began to look and really tried to put the scripture with this that I think really grabs the heart of it all, of the spirit of this whole, these steps here, this is the one I have for you. It's Romans 12:18. And it says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Anybody like that one? I mean, as far as you're concerned, whatever's going on in your life, you need to be at peace with people. And here's the reality, that if we have issues and we have things that we need to make right and we haven't made them right with people, then we're not at peace. We're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with them. We're not in a peaceful place to be able to live the life that God's called us to live. And so it's kind of a tough place to be. You know, the important thing we need to understand, though, is that, you know, in this life and in these relationships we have and in our interactions with people, there are going to be times we make mistakes. There are going to be times we say things that we shouldn't say. Not that anybody in here has ever done that before. I'm sure all of you are perfect, and I'm only talking about myself. But I can tell you that there have been times in my life where I say something stupid, and in the moment you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And you know you need to take it back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're in a situation, you're getting ready to respond, you respond wrong, and you know you did, but then you're just, you know, I don't know, it hurts so bad, it's like, I'm not dealing with it right now, I'll come back later. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? And you know it's right in the moment. It'd be so much better if you just dealt with it in the moment, because here's the thing, when you have an issue with someone and you let it go and you give it time to take a little life, it gets ugly, doesn't it? When you begin to have a problem with someone and you let stuff go and you let it just kind of grow inside of you and become something, the longer you let it sit there and the longer you let it grow, the worse it gets. You find yourself sitting in the morning, sipping coffee, looking out the window, thinking about this thing, and it just literally just takes over. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, but it can happen. So the whole idea is it's better to keep kind of a short list of things, right? That we keep a short list with everybody. Then when something comes up, hey, let's just deal with it right now. And I know Cindy doesn't always like that, because I like to deal with stuff right now. I don't care if it's midnight. Like, you know, we got an issue I want to deal with right now. Let's get it figured out. And I just beat it to death. Okay, so there's some moderation in this, okay? But it's important that we keep a short list of stuff, because, you know, we need to apologize quickly in life, because we know when we've done stuff wrong. And wouldn't it be so much better for marriages, and wouldn't it be better for kids, and wouldn't it be better for our friendships, that when we say stuff that we don't mean or we say things that we're out of line, that we just right there in the moment, just like bite the bullet and eat crow and just deal with it, you know? Wouldn't that be good? That we just handle it right there in the moment? I mean, it would never take life, you know? People aren't really ticked off until you give them about 2 hours. You know what I mean? Then it's a little harder to get there. You know what I mean? People are like, well, I don't know if they'll receive it. I can tell you this. If you say something really dumb and you catch it right in the moment and you say something and you say, I'm really sorry I said that. I don't know why I said that. Please forgive me for that. In the moment, it's much easier, you know, than if you let it sit. But it's also more painful, and I don't know what that's about, but it is more painful that, like, right in the moment, you got to take it all back. And there's something inside of us that just knots up. You know, like when you know you did it wrong and you know you need to say something, and it's like cat's got your tongue. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's no, I'm not doing it right now. Am I just talking about me, or is there anybody else that's ever had that happen? I'm like the most prideful person. They're like, do they have that guy up there to speak? I don't know what that's about. But, I mean, that's how it feels. But we've got to apologize quickly. Now, I want you to understand something about apologies. I'm not talking about those fake apologies. That's what I call them, okay, because they're not real apologies. And maybe you've received one of these before. I want you to know what they are so that, for one, you don't give them, and hopefully you won't hear them, not from anybody in here. I don't know if you ever had that person apologize to you before, and they're like, well, you know, the reason I responded to you that way is because you were just wrong, you know? Like, I mean, I wish, and I mean that in a nice way, because it's our perception. We have different perceptions, okay, of things. And so here's the thing. It's like, you see it this way, I see it that way, and, you know, neither of us are really right or wrong. I mean, let's just agree to disagree. Can we do that? And I don't know about you, but when you have those moments where you have that agree to disagree talk, it never resolves anything, you know? I mean, you're still mad, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not an apology. So please, don't ever use that type of apology, okay? Agree to disagree. Set that aside. How about this? When it's time to apologize and you have excuses for the way you did things, well, you know, I'm a pretty patient guy, but I know the way you said that, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but when you talked to me and you said those things to me, it just stirred up some junk inside of me. And yeah, you know, I don't really want to be that kind of person, but you made me do it. I mean, it was so horrible. If you hadn't been such a jerk, it would have worked. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have said that stuff. So why don't we do this? Why don't you get better at talking to me, and why don't I try to hold that stuff back? Okay, would that be good? And that's kind of an apology, I guess, right? So excuses never work. And how about this one, justification? Well, you know, we find ourselves in this situation today because we're both hard-headed, you know, and we're both this way. And I mean, you said stuff, but how was I supposed to respond? I mean, you know, when people say stuff like that to me, I mean, this is what I'm going to say. You need to know how I am so that you can not approach me that way again. And we somehow justify why we did what we did. Well, this is why I said that. This is why I responded that way. And you need to know that about me so you don't step in that again, right? And those are kind of apologies. But, man, our apologies just need to be apologies, you know what I mean? That when we make mistakes and we say things that we don't mean, or maybe we meant them, I don't know, let the Lord sort that out for you. But when we say things in life that are hurtful to people, and we cause issues with people, or we do things to people that aren't right, why can't we just man up or woman up or however you want to say that and just like go to them and say, you know what, I messed up. I made a huge mistake. It was an error in judgment. I should never have done that. You know, I mean, we've got to get to a place in our lives where we're willing to make amends daily, because here's the thing. When we look at it in terms of a recovery program, we generally say, these are all the things that got you to where you are in your life, and now you need to take an inventory of all the things you did wrong and make amends for all of these things. And I can tell you, you wouldn't have had to do that if you would understand that making amends is a daily thing for people, you know? Like, if you could just have that attitude about you as you're going through life, you'll find yourself not making lists later on down the road of everybody you need to call up, you know? You just handle them in the moment. But it requires us to have some sort of an understanding and some sort of an agreement with each other about how we do life. Like, the thing is, it requires not only for me to make amends for the things that I've done wrong, but it also requires you to be in a place where you can extend forgiveness to me, because it's a two-way street, right? I mean, there's got to be this thing where if I ask you to forgive me and I want to make amends for something, that there's got to be something in you that makes a path for that to happen. Because here's the thing, the reason I'm making amends is because I want to have peace in my life, right? But you've got to give me a pathway to peace, you know what I mean? It's got to be possible, but peace doesn't work for me if you don't give me a path to it. And I think so many times, you know, when we're trying to make amends or we're trying to make things right or we go to apologize to people, I mean, I've had people do this to me before where I'm like, I'm really sorry that I did this, or I'm really sorry I said that to you. I didn't really mean it, and I just hope that you can accept my apology. And they're like, apologies are no good. You know what I mean? Like, thanks for that, but that means nothing to me. You know, I've had those moments. And I don't know, it feels like this huge obstacle to my peace, you know? And I'm thinking, at least with us, okay? With us and our families, that we need to have an arrangement set up, an understanding of relationships, that we are imperfect and not everything is going to be right with us. And you're not always going to treat me good, and I may not always treat you good, and there are going to be these issues because we're human, okay? Let's just get that out in the open. But there's going to have to be this understanding that if we ever have a problem, and I'm the reason why we have the problem, that you're open to listening to me when I come to you and I say, hey, I want to make things right with you. I'm really sorry. And you have to have an open pathway to peace for me. You have to take it in and say, you know, I forgive you for what you've done. There's got to have that. We got to have that relationship, because relationships are always going to be broken if there's no understanding about this whole process of amends and forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is critical to this stuff, right? So making amends is a two-way street. It's an apology and it's forgiveness, and we need to give people a pathway to peace. I want you to imagine for a moment how this concept here would change your marriage and how it would change your family dynamics at home, how it would change your friendships. And I don't know that I don't think anybody here probably has ever gone through this process where they go to somebody who's really, really close to them, whether it be their wife or husband or their kids or their friends, and they say to them, I want to get a couple of things clear with you up front, and I just want to make sure that we understand how this relationship thing works for us. Here's the thing I want to tell you about me is that I'm not always going to be right, and I'm not always going to be perfect about things, and I'm going to be imperfect, I'm going to have some issues, and I may say things that I don't mean, and I want you to know that's not my heart toward you, but that's a possibility. And the thing is, I understand that's true about you too, that you're human too, and I know that you're going to sometimes say things you don't mean and sometimes be imperfect about stuff, and you're going to be human too. But I want to have this agreement with you, and I wonder if we could set up this agreement that if I do something to you that's disrespectful or not kind or I hurt our relationship, that you'll allow me to come to you and apologize for that and not make me feel less than because I did it. I mean, wouldn't that be cool if we had that conversation? You know, like, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make amends for these things, but I need to know that our relationship is safe so I can have that conversation with you. Because I need to know that when I come to you and I say, I'm really sorry for the way that I acted, that your response to me is going to be forgiveness, and it's not going to be this, I don't have time for you right now. And I wonder what would happen if we had those agreements in our relationships or with our kids or whatever. I wonder what that would be like, because I think life would look a little different, you know? You know, I've noticed that kind of understanding of relationships even isn't really very prevalent in the church today. We still get offended. We still have problems. We still get upset, you know? We still have broken relationships. We still have things we need to forgive. And we say, we'll get to it one day. I'm still sick and tired of those people. I'm still upset and I'm still dealing with it. But wouldn't it be cool if we just had the agreement up front that, you know, my wife's not always going to be perfect. You know, she may say things that she doesn't mean, and it's okay for that because she's human, and I'm going to do the same thing with her, and it's okay because whenever she wants to make them right, she can do it. And I can tell you that if we have that kind of relationship and understanding, that she's going to be more likely to have that conversation right away with me instead of waiting. Because it's that waiting time that messes up relationships, you know? Because I can tell you, when we're talking about waiting time, like between the time we're offended to the time we make amends for it, in a lot of cases, it's years. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. It's not a couple hours. It's sometimes family relationships are broken for years until someone finally decides, you know what, that relationship matters to me. And usually it takes things like losing someone to understand that that relationship matters. But we've got to get to a place where we value relationships. You know, the Bible says this in Matthew 6. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay, so here's the reality of it. Okay, if my mother-in-law makes me mad, not that that would ever happen, but if Judy made me mad, okay, and we had a little problem with each other, the issue is this, that if I won't extend forgiveness to you, then now the problem that you and I have is not our problem anymore. I have a problem with God. And you know, so many times that when we withhold forgiveness from someone, it's like this becomes an issue, but it becomes a spiritual issue inside of us with the one who made us. And you know, so many times we make mountains out of molehills. This issue is no big deal. This could be totally dealt with between the two of us if we just had an understanding that you're imperfect. You're really imperfect. And I'm just joking. And I'm imperfect, and I'm not always going to do the right thing with you, and you're not always going to do the right thing with me. And if I just understand that going in, it's okay because we're going to be okay, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to be able to work it out between the two of us, and I don't have any problem forgiving you. You know, we've got to be in that place. But when we don't have that understanding of what relationship's really about, I begin to hold forgiveness back, and then I begin to have a problem with God. And now he and I have a problem. And the problem's not his, it's mine, you know? God never really has a problem unless you're talking about me, right? And that's the whole thing, you know? That's a picture of what it means to forgive and the importance of forgiveness. you know, we need to proactively forgive people, because here's the thing, they're not always going to make it right. Anybody ever had that experience? People do you wrong and they don't come back and do anything about it? You know, we need to just allow those things to let go. We need to be able to forgive people without them being present, without them doing anything to make it right. So many times we say, I'll forgive them when they come back here and they tell me what they did wrong, because I want to know that they know what they did. Anybody ever thought that? You may not have said it, but you probably thought it, right? I want to know that they know what they did wrong, and I want them to come back and say it to me. And when they do that, I'm going to let forgiveness flow, okay? How's that for conditional forgiveness, right? I do want to say this, though, and this is just a side note. Sometimes this happens. It's super irritating. I don't really know why it's wrong, but it certainly is wrong, is this. That when someone does a Christian wrong and they don't make it right, once in a while, I think it's self-righteousness. I'm not really sure. I can't really put my finger on it. But sometimes they decide that I'm going to go forgive that person. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like they end up going to that person and say, you know, I just want you to know that I forgive you for being a jerk. Okay, I really do. You were a jerk yesterday, and I just want you to know that I forgive you for that. And you're like, I didn't even know I was a jerk yesterday. I didn't even know we had a problem, right? But it's interesting, like, proactive forgiveness is something that happens in the heart. Proactive forgiveness is not something that we make happen, you know? Because here's the deal. That maybe you're not ready to make amends, right? You know? Maybe you were a jerk and you never knew you were, but, you know, God's working on you, and eventually you're going to come to me and say, I'm sorry, I was a jerk, but you were not really ready for that yet, you know? And so it's like he hasn't had that moment, you know? Here's the deal. This whole process, this whole relational thing doesn't work unless the person who wants to make amends is ready and the person who's ready to give forgiveness is ready. Those two things have to come together. I can't just be super Christian and go, well, I just want to let you know you're forgiven now, okay? I mean, it doesn't work that way, because there's something that's like super spiritually irritating about that. And I don't even know what to say about that, except don't do that, okay? It's weird. So let me give you a picture of how God forgives us and loves us, okay? I just want to finish with this passage because I want you to get a picture of it. This is perfection, okay? So I want you to understand, whenever we set a target out there for how we're supposed to be, we set a target of perfection, and then we shoot for that, okay? Here's what it says in Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And I'll stop there for just a second. That is a mouthful, right? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if that was our spirit toward people, that that's the way we acted, that we're compassionate toward them, we're gracious, we're slow to anger, we abound in love, we have this understanding of relationship, that they're imperfect, we're imperfect, and that there are times we're going to have to make amends, and there are times they're going to have to forgive, and vice versa, and it gets flipped around. Wouldn't it be cool if that was a picture? Anybody happy about that, by the way? Amen. Yeah, you can clap. It's for God. It's not for me. And I could probably stop reading right there, but I'm not going to, because I'm a pastor. I'm not done, okay? Here's what it says. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Remember that. This is a picture of not just how God acts toward us, but how we act toward other people. This is a picture of relationship here, right? But so often it doesn't work that way. But imagine the whole idea. Now overlay the concept of having a conversation with someone explaining, look, we're just imperfect and we're going to have to make this whole thing work. We're going to have to be available for amends and for forgiveness, okay? And we're just going to have this understanding. So it would be easy to do that then. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, this is awesome stuff. I mean, not only have we dealt with the issue, like when we do things wrong and sin against God, no longer do we have that between us, because he even takes the issue and he throws it away, doesn't even remember it anymore, it's gone, right? I mean, how cool would it be that we can act like that? But it only happens in the understanding of a relationship, that we're just human and we're going to be working together through things, and we're going to be understanding that we're not always going to do each other right, and I'm going to make amends and you're going to forgive me, and vice versa, right? It's going to have to have, we're going to have that understanding. So here's the question for you. Are you willing to have that conversation with people? You know, maybe in a relationship that's a little strained, maybe in a relationship that's not strained, how good would that be, right? That you have the conversation with your spouse and say, you know, I don't know that I've ever really allowed you to be human, because I've always expected perfection. Every time you mess up and every time you say something to me, I get mad and we get into it, and we don't have to do that, right? Because you're imperfect and I'm imperfect, and you understand the conversation, right? We went through it a few times. But wouldn't it be cool if we had those relationships? So the challenge of the word is this. Are you willing to have that conversation with someone who's close to you? to set the groundwork for a relationship that's healthy, you know? That we're not always going to be right with everything, but we're always going to be right with God. And you're always going to get forgiveness from me, and amends is always a possibility. That the road, the pathway to peace is always going to be open between us. I mean, what a cool relationship that would be. But I think that most relationships aren't really set up that way. But if they were, it would change everything, wouldn't it? I mean, I want my relationships to be that way. I want my relationships to be that way with at home. I want them to be that way here at the church. I want them to be that way everywhere. And I think you do too. Because in the end, there's peace in this, you know? So many of us haven't found peace relationally because we're not willing to have that conversation. We're not willing to really think that way. But God has challenged us to a new truth, a new height of understanding, right? That relationships are important. They're not just necessary evils. Like, I got to get along with my mom, you know what I mean? If I don't get along with my mom, that'd just be really bad, you know? But I want to love my mom, and it's not that I just want to get along with her. I understand that relationship's important, you know? And when we begin to understand the value of relationships and the importance of those things, we find ourselves wanting to have those conversations like, Mom, it's okay if you don't do everything right, you know? I mean, you've done a lot right, you know? But it's okay that I don't do everything right because I don't, you know? But I still love you anyway, no matter what, because the thing is, we're in this together, right? Like, you gave birth to me. We need to work this out, you know what I mean? She said, I gave you birth, you owe me big. Yeah. But this relationship matters, right? And all of our relationships matter. You know, my relationship with Marianne matters. And the way that we get along, it matters, you know? Because God has put you in my life to sharpen me. And there are times that we've had disagreements about things, but we sharpen each other in it. We don't have a problem with each other. And it's important that we operate that way. But it's important you operate that way in your home and in your marriage and in your friendships. So the challenge for you today is, are you willing to have that conversation, or are you willing to set that up in your life? Because it'll change your life if you let it. Let me just pray for you. If we could all just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. Father, I just thank you so much for this time that we've had today. Lord, I thank you for challenging us to see relationships differently. Lord, that we can just be open, to lay our pride down and lay down everything and just say, Lord, I want to live a life where I can make amends anytime. And that anytime someone wants to make amends to me, I'm open for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that we understand the value of relationships. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to make that a really strong point in our minds and help us to understand that more and more. Lord, we want to have a close relationship with you so that we can have a close relationship with others too. Lord, I pray that you just help us within our relationships to allow people to be imperfect, to allow people to make mistakes, and to be human. And Lord, I pray that that's really the basis of our understanding of each other so that we can just forgive and move and live the kind of life you've called us to live relationally. Lord, for every relationship in this place today that's broken, for all the relationships that need to be mended and put back together, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you stir our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit to take us to a place where we understand the importance of making it right. Lord, so that we can lay down all the history and all the bad feelings and all the everything that's gone with it to do what's right by you. Lord, help us to understand those relationships are valuable. They always have been valuable. And Lord, they're a part of your support network that you've created for us. So Lord, I pray that you just begin to put it all back together again. Lord, help us to lay down our pride. Help us to lay down bad feelings. And all these things, Lord, to put back together the very things that you established to begin with. And Lord, we love you and thank you. We pray that you give us the ability to forgive, Lord. That you give us a compassion that's like your compassion, and a grace and a love for people that's uncommon. Lord, I pray that you help us to forgive and let these things go, Lord, so that we can grow in you. Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you for all that you do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to understand something. This scripture that I read out of Psalm 103 is a story of your life and your relationship with Him, is that He has compassion and grace for you, and He doesn't have anger for you. He has love for you. That no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes you've made, He still feels that way toward you, that while we were all still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, He sent Christ to pay the price for our sins because we couldn't, because He wanted to have a relationship with us. And I want you to know that you may have felt like you've been out of God's reach, but you've never been out of His reach. You've never been out of His mind. That He has continued to think about you and to love you and to call you back to Him, no matter where you've been. So if your decision today is, I want to build a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and I want to begin to grow spiritually, and I want to begin to understand what peace is all about, because I need peace in my life. If this is where you're at today and you're ready to make a decision for Him, if you would just lift your hand, I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Anyone else here today? Thank you. I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and God. Father God, I give you my life today. I accept your Son Jesus into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life, but I choose to live my life for you going forward. Today I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And today my decision is for a new beginning. Lord, change my heart, and I know that as my heart has changed, that the outside of my life has changed as well. So Lord, I just pray that you move in me. Make me the person that you want me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, can we praise God today? Thank you.
As we get ready to close the service this morning, I ask for the prayer team to come up, please. In the first service, I had some things come to me and I shared. I want to share those things again because it's important. It was important in my life for some things to happen, and it's important in everybody's life for some things to happen to get us through this point. 30-plus years ago, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I did that, I began calling myself a Christian. Well, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. If I go to the Word, I have an instruction manual that tells me how to be Christ-like. Pastor Steve showed us in Psalms 103 that there are some specific directions there. There are other directions in the Word that helps us to achieve that. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Don't go to bed angry. What happens when I let the sun go down on my anger? It's the beginning of a resentment. And those resentments start to build in my life. And I start to hold resentments against other people. And as I hold those resentments, I enter into an unhealthy behavior. And then I'm going to start telling Steve, you know, what's his name? That thing's just treated me bad. You need to know. And I go into that talking bad about people. And I don't need to do that. I need to deal with the anger when it comes up. So how I do that is what Steve was telling us today. But I want to give you an example of something that happened to me where I held on to anger that went into resentment. When I was about 16 years old, my mother and I got into an argument. Summertime, I left the house in a fit, angry, went out on the street with the guys and was hanging around. My grandfather, my mother's father, pulled up in the car. He called me over to the car, and in my mind, my mother had sent him to get me. That's what I thought. He didn't know anything about the argument I had with my mother. what he came to do was ask me to help him put an air conditioner in a window or take an air conditioner out of a window, one way or the other. So I go up to the car, and I said some things to him that I shouldn't have said. And I said them in a way that I shouldn't have said them. And I turned around and walked off, and he drove off. About 3 days later, he died. I never talked to him from the day that I was talking to him through that window till the day he died. So I had that anger and resentment in me for 3 days, but the result of that anger and resentment was a lifetime of pain. 15, 16 years later, I come to a point in my life that I needed to change some things. And that was still prevalent in my mind. That I carried that with me all the time. How do you make amends to somebody that's dead? When I got to the point of making amends, how do you do that? And a good friend of mine told me to write him a letter, go to his grave, and read him that letter. I did that, and I got peace. But I carried it 15, 16 years, misery sometimes, thinking about that. Everybody that we have issues with, we don't need to be in relationship with them. There are unhealthy relationships. It's insane to go into an unhealthy relationship and keep apologizing and having the same thing happen over and over. The forgiveness was the key. Forgiveness is the key. I forgive. That doesn't mean I have to have an unhealthy relationship. But, you know, the whole point of the story is that I had to deal with that, and it took me 15 or 16 years. You don't have to wait another day to deal with that. People up here to pray with you, they'll pray for you. You can get rid of those resentments, that anger today. And God will tell you if you need to make an amend. And God will tell you when the right time is. If I'm going through Walmart and God says, it's time to make an amend, there they are. Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm going to do. But at the same time, I'm not going to go to Walmart looking for you because I think I need to make an amend. We'll let God be in charge of the amend making. And he'll give you the opportunity. But you don't have to live with that. You don't have to suffer with everything that goes along with that. Be willing today to make those amends. Be willing to forgive. And God will work in your life. And it tears down all the roadblocks and you just can move freely. I can't think of anybody I have anything against today, any ought against anybody. I don't have any resentments in my life today. And that gives me peace. And that's okay. I'm taking care of me. If somebody doesn't like me, that's their problem. I'm okay with them. And that's the way we can be. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you, if you have issue with something, to come up here and get somebody to pray with you. And leave it here today. Don't carry it anymore. You don't have to. You don't have to carry it with you. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that Pastor Steve brought today, Father God. We thank you that you use him, Father, each and every day to be an instrument of your peace and a messenger of your love, Father God. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the obedience he has to listen to you, Father. Lord, we thank you for the instruction that you give each and every one of us, Lord. Father, I want to pray a blessing over everybody here today. We thank you for the life we have, Father God. And we thank you that you're there and able to help us in every situation and in every circumstance. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget the bake sale, side room. Support the youth. Anything else? Support